Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan, and this is number 12 of our series entitled Justification. Thank you for joining us today. Warning, what you are about to hear is not popular with the adversary, and if you have a high opinion of yourself, you probably won't like this program either. And we hope to rid you of your self-sufficiency. Well, we have a website. It's crossandthrone.com. Please go there. We have available at our website the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, the only translation that was not done by highly paid professionals, but by Bible-believing people who believed God's Word and translated it with a method that eliminated man's theology. And if you don't believe me, get it for yourself, but it's they assign a single English word to each Greek word so man doesn't interpret it. And so we have the Concordant Literal New Testament at our website. We also have the Concordant Commentary in the New Testament. And if as I always say on this program, if you have these two books, you will have more than you will ever get in a many years at a seminary, and it'll cost you a whole lot less. So why don't you get those from us, and they're available at our website. Also, sign up for our newsletter, and you can get our audios and our radio programs for free on our website. You can go listen to them or download them as you please. We are in Romans chapter 1, and last time we talked about how God gave these people over to dishonorable passions, how the females, and I was corrected by a brother. It's interesting that the females altering the natural use into that which is beside nature may not be referring to lesbianism, but to bestiality. In the book of Leviticus, it does not give the death penalty, by the way, for a lesbian, but it does give the death penalty for the homosexual man. And obviously, the point here in Romans, though, is not to tell us that we should be angry or hate these kind of people, but to show us that all have sinned. By the way, lesbianism and homosexuality are listed here with those who have evil greed and have envy and so forth. So all sinned in our wanting of God's glory. And this is the thing today. God's salvation goes out to those, whether they're wise or foolish, whether they're homosexual or lesbian or a murderer or a thief or a drunkard. I don't care what your brand of sin is, friends. God sent his son to be your savior. God will save you through the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, not by your acts, not by anything you do, but by what God has done for you. Now we come to verse 28, and we're going to read verse 28 to 32. Paul says, "And according as they do not test God to have him in recognition, God gives them over to a disqualified mind." Now the word test means to form a careful opinion by subjecting the mind to impressions. God revealed himself in creation to the Gentiles, as we pointed out before, Romans 1, 19 to 32, God is bringing the Gentiles into court and showing them guilty. The Gentiles had the knowledge of God in creation, and they didn't test him, they didn't approve of him. And so what did God do? He gives them over to a disqualified mind. And it's interesting, this word means to unable to stand the test. Since they didn't test God, God gave them to a mind that didn't stand the test. They didn't approve of God, so God gave them a mind that was disapproved. In other words, a mind that doesn't function the way the mind is intended to function. So when man does not approve of God, their mind goes off base. And so we read here that they have a disqualified mind to do that which is not befitting. And then it says they're filled with all injustice. Doesn't just say they dabble in it, but they're filled with all injustice, wickedness, evil, greed. The word greed in the Greek is from the elements more and having. Greed is a desire to have more. Distended with envy, or bulging with envy. The people are envious of one another. They always want to compare houses, compare cars, compare bank accounts, compare jobs and paychecks. We're bulging with envy. Murder. Notice envy and murder go together, because envy leads to murder. And strife. Men are always fighting with each other, arguing with each other. Guile, that's kind of like deceiving each other, having a deceptive attitude. Depravity, whisperers, speaking about others from behind. And then it says vilifiers. They vilify others. Detesters of God. Now, they may not say it's God they detest, but by their actions and their beliefs, they detest God. Outragers. And by the way, Paul called himself an outrager in 1 Timothy 1:13. God saves outragers. God, by the way, this whole list of people who are wicked, greedy, full of envy, murder, and strife, and guile and depravity, God saves these kind of people. We're going to see that. But we have to see what we are before God saves us here in Romans. And then it says they're proud. You know, I find it funny when you, pride is all kinds of levels. You can just be proud of your association. Pride is in all levels of society. It's just, you know, it's proud doesn't mean you just always brag, but you just have a high opinion of yourself in or whatever associations you're part of. Ostentatious, that means over evaluating yourself. Like, for instance, when a football team is playing and they're down 37-0, a man makes a tackle, which he's paid to do. He gets up and he dances. You don't have to dance. You were paid to do it, and by the way, you're losing 37-0. And it says, inventors of evil things. They go about trying to find evil things to do. They invent them. And then it says, stubborn to parents. There is an interesting one. Unintelligent. Perfidious. The word perfidious means fail to fulfill an agreement. People don't want to come to terms. Without natural affection, that means no family love. Implacable, that means they can never find have peace with others. Unmerciful. And then it says in verse 32, those who recognizing the just statute of God, that those committing such things are deserving of death. Notice it doesn't say they're deserved to be punished forever in a fiery and tortured forever. No, it says that they recognize that they deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. That's it. That they are deserving of death, not only are doing them, but are endorsing those who are committing them. And so this is not ignorance being spoken of here, but willfulness. This is a group of people, the Gentiles, they saw God in creation back in Genesis 10 and 11, and they turned their back on him. The prevailing immorality in ancient times was largely attributable to the character of the gods they worshipped. The younger race of gods who held sway on Olympus were usurpers who had murdered the older gods and were guilty of innumerable deeds of violence and full of sensuality and injustice. If their gods behave so, it is not difficult for men to emulate their example and endorse such actions in others as well. So their gods acted like that, so they followed it, and they endorsed others who did it. Now, the failure of Christendom is largely due to the fact that God is unknown, and his place is filled by a fierce, vindictive caricature who is restrained from his thirst for vengeance by the intervention of an effeminate mediator who takes the place of the Christ of God. As we pointed out, Christendom today has a lot of paganistic ideas. Well, Romans 1, verse 19 to 32, God successfully, through Paul, brings the Gentiles into the courtroom, as it were, and shows that they are sinners, that they are guilty, that they missed the mark. They rejected God in creation, and therefore God gave them over to all these things. Now, starting in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, verse 8, God brings the Jew into the court. And as the creation was used to condemn the Gentile, here in chapter 2 and up to 3, verse 8, God uses the law. The Gentiles did not have the Old Testament. They did not have the law. They were never given the law. So creation is enough to condemn them. But here the Jews had an even greater responsibility. They had the oracles of God, and they failed. And so Paul starts off Romans 2, verse 1 and 2, by saying this, wherefore, defenseless are you, O man, everyone who is judging, for in what you are judging another, you are condemning yourself. For you who are judging are committing the same things. Now we are aware that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who are committing such things. Now I want you to notice, in chapter 1, verse 21, the Gentiles were defenseless. Now here in chapter 2, he says, defenseless are you, O man, everyone who is judging. And I believe here he's now addressing the Jew. The Jewish people would look down on these dirty Gentile dogs and point the finger at them. And Paul says, wherefore defenseless are you, O man, everyone who is judging. For in what you are judging another, you are condemning yourself, for you who are judging are committing the same things. Those Gentiles, those dirty dogs, they were idolaters, they had illicit sexual practices and so on. But God tells us in the Bible that the Jews were guilty of the same thing. As a matter of fact, when Moses went up the mount to get the law of God, the children of Israel made a golden calf and they had an orgy. So how can they judge the Gentiles? They're no different. A perfect illustration of this is King David. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then what did he do? He has Uriah killed. And Nathan comes to him one day and says, King David, I got a story to tell you. And David says, come on, Nate, buddy, tell me about it. And Nate says, there once a man, he had this little lamb, and he loved this little lamb, and one day a rich man came and stole his little lamb from David and killed it and fed it to one of his friends. And David got angry with that man, and Nathan said, David, you are that man. David got angry at the sin of this man in this made-up story when it was really about himself. See, he got indignant at the sin of somebody else when it was his own sin. And it's very easy, friends. We get so vindictive. Oh, we're so self-righteous. Look at us. We're so self-righteous. Those dirty homosexuals and those dirty lesbians and those dirty Democrats or whatever. But you are no different, friend. You think it in your heart. You look at women lustfully. I had a Baptist preacher once tell me that I'm wicked because I have a glass of wine and a beer because I don't think beer and wine are anti-scriptural. But then it's funny, this Baptist preacher happened to be 290 pounds, friend. Did you ever forget about gluttony? Is that not a sin? We love to judge the sin in others, friends. Stop cleaning my front porch. Clean your own. Here he says, you are judging the other, yet you're committing the same things. But the good news is that God judges according to truth against those who commit such things. God doesn't judge by hearsay. He has a just judgment. Well, we have to stop there. We can pick up on this thread next time. Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, call us at 847-312-4676. Or you can go to our website. Please go there, as a matter of fact. Sign up for our newsletter. It's crossandthrone.com. Crossandthrone.com. Get the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, the Concordant Literal New Testament, and also the Concordant Commentary in the New Testament. Friends, you won't get better teaching in these two books. The best Bible translation followed with some good, helpful commentary to guide you. And this is the only Bible in existence where you can search the Scriptures yourselves without trusting somebody else's theology. We also have Martin Zender's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Get a copy of that, too. It's for people with weaknesses. Well, until next time.
Well, it started